we're going to be speaking with a variety of legislators, mostly people in leadership positions, chairs and ranking members of the committees that have anything to do with gambling, and the leadership of the Assembly and Senate. In those cases, we'll probably be speaking with staff. Also, some individual legislators from our home districts or our areas. For instance, there's two Buffalo area legislators who are favorably disposed toward our point of view, whom we'll be meeting with. And also someone from the governor's office, and I think we're going to try to speak with someone from the controller's office.
What message are you bringing to Albany this year?
We're focusing on this proposed constitutional amendment, a really bad idea, if there ever was one. And we would like to see it defeated on second vote. And I've been told that with constitutional amendments, that routinely just vote for them the first time without really examining them. And that's certainly what has happened in this case. I mean, if you consider the way the constitutional amendment was passed the first time, they voted in the middle of the night with no hearings, no debate. Half the Senate was not even there, almost half. You know, all the Democrats except the four turncoat Democrats were not in the body at the time of the vote because they had walked out in a dispute over the reapportionment issue.
Could you tell me what exactly the constitutional amendment would allow?
It would allow up to seven commercial casinos in the state, not non-Indian casinos, at locations to be determined by the legislature later on. I mean, it's a very, very brief amendment. Inserts a phrase into the section that otherwise bans gambling, where they had already put in exceptions for the lottery and pari-mutuel betting and so forth. This adds an exception for casinos. So one of the aspects of this is, I mean, it's a fairly trivial aspect, but there's no specificity. You know, the racetracks all want to have casinos where they now have racinos. They want to have table games as well. Senator Bonachick wants one in the Catskills. The Indians don't want any within their areas of exclusivity. So there's not any consensus on where these casinos would go. And that will be a big fight. But, you know, the horse will be out of the barn by that point because once the amendment passes, if it does, then that's the law of the land. And casinos will be here. Just some uncertainty as to where.
The governor has said when speaking in support of this amendment that, you know, that those like yourself who were pressing to avert this amendment or for no more casinos or no casinos, he has said that the casinos are already here.
All I can say about that is it's the most idiotic argument I've ever heard because we have gambling because the state has already found all sorts of ways to get around the restrictions in the Constitution. So basically what they're saying is, okay, we cheated and we got away with it. Now let's rationalize it and make it legal. You know, you might as well say, look, we've already got murder in this state. Why don't we just legalize it? We could tax it.
There is also an economic argument to be made in the case of casinos, certainly, that those who want them in their districts and those who are lobbying for them in their districts, if this were to pass, they say that there would be, you know, an economic boon in these areas. What's your response to that?
Oh, just utter nonsense. The gambling industry always says that there'll be economic development and lots of jobs. What you find is that there's actually a net loss in jobs, or at best, it's a wash. Because the casinos cannibalize money and employees from other businesses. And look at Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls has probably got higher unemployment now than it did before the casino went in. And if you think there's economic development, you know, unless you sell plywood for people to board up windows, you don't get any sort of economic boom. You know, you have Atlantic City and you have Niagara Falls. Go and look at those cities and tell me if you think they're experiencing an economic boom. And tell somebody who's been to those two places and seen with their own eyes what's happened. They have no business talking about economic booms.
There's been a couple of high-profile, in the past few weeks, cases of some indiscretions on the part of public, those in the public sector who work in gaming and gambling, notably in New York. The NYRA certainly has come under fire, and they fired their two chief executives and have since hired them under intense scrutiny from the state as far as their hiring practice goes. And it's leading a lot of people to question whether or not gaming or gambling in itself is kind of...
Can I just interrupt you?
Yeah.
It's gambling. Please don't call it gaming. That's the industry term that they use to try to make it sound innocuous. I'm not gonna talk about gaming. Gaming is tiddlywinks in football. This is gambling.
Okay. It's led a lot of people to question whether or not gambling is a unsavory, or if it is unto itself a business that leads to corruption among officials. What's your take on that?
Well, it always has historically. That's one of the main reasons it was banned in New York State in the first place, is because there was an incredible amount of corruption associated with it. So I don't see anything on the horizon that would suggest that might change. I mean, there was also the question of the bid to take over Aqueduct, take over the gambling at Aqueduct. That went south, too, with kickbacks and all sorts of shenanigans. I mean, it's just one unsavory mess after another. Former Governor Edwards of Louisiana went to prison for selling casino licenses, you know, where he pocketed the money. You know, that's Louisiana. You know, people just sort of expect that corruption in association with gambling. And we should expect it here in New York, too. I mean, there's a lot of money. And an industry that in its earliest days was dominated by the mob. So what would one expect?